The Holy Gospel according to Luke, the 9th chapter. When the days drew near for Jesus to be taken up, he set his face to go to Jerusalem, and he sent messengers ahead of him. On their way, they entered a village of the Samaritans to make ready for him, but they did not receive him because his face was set toward Jerusalem. When his disciples James and John saw it, they said, "Lord, do you want us to command fire to come down from heaven and consume them?" But he turned and rebuked them. Then they went on to another village. As they were going along the road, someone said to him, "I will follow you wherever you go." And Jesus said to him, "Foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." To another he said, "Follow me." But he said, "Lord, first let me go and bury my father." But Jesus said to him, "Let the dead bury their own dead. But as for you, go and proclaim the kingdom of God." Another said, "I will follow you, Lord, but let me first say farewell to those at my home." Jesus said to him, "No one who puts a hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God." The Gospel of the Lord. A few members of our congregation have been passengers in my vehicle over the years, carpooling to Synod Assembly or to Camp Nwakwa for a council retreat, accompanying me on a home communion visit, or getting a ride to a doctor's appointment. I always warn people when they get in. I'm an easily annoyed, judgmental, and expressive driver. "Geez, buddy, ever heard of a turn signal? Green means go. What are you waiting for? Why are you in this lane?" I realize this aspect of my personality is not something to brag about, but my running commentary on other people's driving is as far as I go. I don't make gestures, rude or otherwise. I don't blow my horn in anger, flash my headlights, or do anything that might escalate a situation. Road rage is scary, and it makes people act scary. Like the woman I encountered recently on 83 over in Harrisburg, who tailgated me, then weaved in and out of traffic, darted right in front of me at 65 miles an hour, and slammed on her brakes. I think she believed I should have passed a truck more quickly than I did. Freaked me out a bit, I must say. We get a bit of road rage in our gospel reading this morning. Did you notice? Yes. Indeed, Jesus and his disciples are on the road, walking, of course, as that's how people got from one place to another in his day. Their choice of route is an interesting one. Jesus and his disciples are traveling through Samaria, Luke tells us, which many Jewish people avoided doing due to the long-standing animosity between them and the Samaritans. As it turns out, the Samaritans are not receptive to Jesus' party. The hospitality and safe harbor typically extended to travelers is withheld. And that's when the road rage kicks in for the disciples, James and John, and they don't just offer a one-finger salute, which was considered an obscene gesture even back then, or shout a few expletives. James and John go big, asking Jesus if he wants them to command fire to come down from heaven and consume the unwelcoming village. Sheesh. Jesus doesn't have the time or the inclination for such foolishness. He has set his face to go to Jerusalem. As a matter of fact, we hear that Jesus set his face toward Jerusalem not once, but twice in just a few sentences to make sure we get it. You see, this is a turning point in the Gospel of Luke. Up until now, through the stories of the first 9 and a half chapters, we've heard about Jesus' birth and his early years, his baptism by John and temptation in the wilderness, the healing and preaching that he begins doing as he also starts calling disciples and making the religious authorities really mad. Today, things change a bit. Now, Jesus will continue to teach and heal and gather followers and make people angry in the days ahead, but he will do so while he is journeying in a very particular direction with a very clear mission in mind. His face is set toward Jerusalem and what God has called him to do there. We who emerged from the seasons of Lent and Easter not that long ago know what that city holds for Jesus. While he will enter its gates with hosannas ringing in the air, Jerusalem will also be the place of Jesus' final confrontation with the religious authorities, the place where he will be betrayed by Judas, denied by Peter, tried by Pilate, where he will be humiliated, suffer, and die on a cross. It doesn't really seem like the place to go, does it? But it is where and what God is calling Jesus to. And in faithfulness, Jesus sets his face and follows God's call. Now, there are some others who think they'd like to follow also. We hear about three of them in our gospel today. I'm guessing these are well-intentioned folks. After all, they are with Jesus, wanting to be around him, to be part of his ministry somehow. I think of them as the yes, but folks. Yes, I'll follow, but first I gotta. Yes, I'll follow, but wouldn't it be better if? Yes, I'll follow, but see, before I can. I'm sure we can all relate to the yes, but answer to the call of discipleship. I bet we've all heard something Jesus said about forgiving our enemies or offering ourselves fully to God and God's work in the world or showing hospitality to someone whose life decisions we don't understand, and we've offered a yes, but in response. Yes, I know I'm called to forgive Susie for betraying my trust, but she really hurt me, and I don't think she's sorry. Yes, I know I could give more of myself and my resources to the church and the community, but I already do a lot, and some people aren't doing anything. Yes, I know God calls me to love my neighbor, but, you know, some of my neighbors, well, they cause their own problems with their bad choices. And I don't know why I should have to worry about them. Jesus has something to say in response to the yes, but answers he gets. Let the dead bury their own dead. No one who puts a hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God. These seem like harsh words, I know. Not quite as extreme as James and John wanting to rain fire down from heaven, but still, Jesus uses this kind of tough and somewhat hyperbolic language when he wants to get people's attention. Listen up! You can't call me Lord without committing to my lordship over your whole life. You can't put conditions on my teachings or find ways to explain why they don't actually apply to you or this particular situation. You can't follow me to the cross without following me to the cross. And that, my brothers and sisters, is a key thing to remember. The path of service and sacrifice Jesus calls us to follow is the path he has already walked. Jesus set his face to go to Jerusalem, and then he went to Jerusalem, and there he gave himself over to death, for us and for our salvation. And now our risen and ascended Lord keeps us company on the road we are called to travel, building a community out of us, feeding and strengthening us with his holy word and his body and blood, inspiring us to bear the fruit of the Spirit we heard about in our reading from Galatians today. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. So may our faces be set on Jesus always. Our companion, our brother, our healer, our teacher, our Savior.